Fry Orthodontics presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Your smile is just the start. Online at fryorthodontics.com.
When you podcast in America's football mecca, you are pretty much obligated on the day that your Super Bowl champion team reports to training camp to lead with that team. And we will oblige that right here at KKHI as the Chiefs rookies are reporting to Missouri Western in St. Joe on this Tuesday. Not all veterans will show up this early. They don't need to be in until the weekend. But as rookie reports under rainy conditions, they won't hit the field. They'll check in. They'll get assigned their dorm rooms. The media will all swarm to St. Joe, and we will see it. There will be some wonderful videos and sights and sounds of players showing up in wild clothing and different things and making outrageous statements. It's going to be fun. This is a hype day. The first day of reporting for rookies is nothing more than a hype day. But we're going to take it to a different level because we have earned this as a fan base that went decade after decade without a Super Bowl. Although right now it's so good, it's crazy. Three Super Bowls in the last four. The Chiefs have been there. They've won two. There are only two teams in the NFL that have gone the last decade without a losing season. That's the Chiefs and the Steelers. The Chiefs have the best record over that time in the last 10 years in the NFL. Two titles to show for it. The best player in football. An offseason full of hype. And I just got to be honest with you. I am tired of the offseason Chiefs stories. I'm done. I'm ready for football. I want to talk about football. I want to see him practice. I want to see preseason games. I want to see the new players. I'm ready for this now. I don't get all jacked up about who they're going to draft, what they're going to get. I like looking at the team when it comes together in camp like it does now, and I've got some particular things I'm going to be looking at and watching that I'll share with you here in just a couple of moments, but this is where it gets real. I don't care about documentaries. I don't care about Hollywood appearances. I don't care about fake golf matches. I don't care about, you know, vacations that Patrick and Brittany are on. I don't care. I am so exhausted by following these people. It's like keeping up with the Kardashians. Not just the Mahomes, but the entire team. I'm tired of Kadarius Toney and his ridiculous, offensive, vulgar, disgusting, vile videos. I'm tired of all of it. I'm ready for them to play football, and let's talk about football, and let's see what the team is going to produce. The first thing you need to know is if you're going to camp, it's going to cost you $5 to park no matter when you go. A lot of the days it's free. They have special days where autographs are available. You can get on the field or get closer, and they have scrimmages, and they'll charge you $5. You can see all the best place to learn all of the rules and the details of Chiefs camp and their schedule is Chiefs.com. They will alter a few things during camp based on the weather. We've seen that in the past, but they pretty much do their best now to set up camp and have a schedule for the entire time to let you know when is the best time for fans to come out, when autographs may be available, and things of that nature. So check out Chiefs.com if you're looking for the complete Chiefs camp schedule and you want to go see your Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in person. Okay, the one thing that I'm really looking at here this year is, you know, look, this team is so good. Like, the only question mark they have is who's going to be the kick returner, okay? I mean, it sounds and seems absolutely silly, but they always try to put somebody new there. Now, some sort of rookie, and you don't want to get one of your star players hurt. They love to do this in the NFL. Find somebody good, find somebody new that's not going to drop the ball. Okay, that was a problem last year. But find somebody to put back there that's not one of your regular guys, that is their role, and then they're a backup player everywhere else. That's always the best way to do it if you can. And so that really is the only thing we're looking at. Like, okay, what do we got here? I'm most excited. This is the most exciting thing for me. I love the position of linebacker. I've always been a big fan of linebackers and believed, and I just grew up in an era where the best defenses always seem to have the best linebackers. They're so versatile. They can drop back in the secondary and intercept passes like a safety. They can be a secondary pass rusher and get 5, 6, 7 sacks in a season. They can blitz and make a difference, and they can stop the run. Linebackers are just incredibly vital positions to a defense. And the Chiefs have not been particularly good at linebacker under Andy Reid through the years. They've been okay, but I mean, Nick Bolton is turning into a star. He's a tackle machine. We're seeing this right before our eyes. While he's a little undersized, it also serves him well as a tackler. He can get guys in space. He's quick enough to go get there. He's a tremendous player, but it's been really since like Derek Johnson that we've looked at somebody and said, okay, the Chiefs are stacked at this position. There is a chance there is a chance that the Chiefs have the best linebackers in the NFL this year. That's exciting for a team that has Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback. Are they looking for an edge rusher? Yes, of course they are. They're hoping Karlaftis, you know, turns into this massive star in year two, and he may. Chris Jones will be Chris Jones. So it's not like they don't have pass rushers, but they're looking for another edge rusher. They're trying to find some help there. That's a question mark, I guess you would say. There's more experience now in the secondary. There's some second-year players back there. But the real jam of this defense is the linebackers. Now, how they'll use them, I don't know. I'm not a defensive coordinator. I just know the talent is there. You've got Nick Bolton, who's a freak, man. He's an absolute tackle machine. Willie Gay is a physical freak of nature. We've seen what kind of Terminator this guy is when he goes and makes plays, because he's just a specimen. He's just a freak of an athlete and physical talent. And now they add Drew Tranquil, who comes over from the Chargers, who had a gazillion tackles last year, a half a dozen sacks, some interceptions. He just makes play after play after play. And not to sound or appear to be racist, but he's like the white dude linebacker that Ben Neiman wasn't. Okay? He's more athletic. He's bigger. He can make more play. He's physically more gifted than what you would think of with most white linebackers. Okay? He also has this incredible knack for being in the right place at the right time. That's what the Chiefs love about him. They have assembled a linebacker core here on this football team that's really good. And you don't think of that with the Chiefs. We never think in terms, really, of strength on defense. So the Chiefs have this right. You got Justin Reed back there at safety, who said, "I was not comfortable until week 14 or 15 last year. I didn't understand the defense. I was not comfortable. Year two is going to be much better for me at safety." He obviously signed the big contract to take over for Tyrann Mathieu. So we like that in the secondary. We believe there's enough pass rushing up front. And now the linebackers become the absolute strength of the defense. And the versatility that linebackers provide will keep quarterbacks guessing all day long. And that's what you really want. You want to create a defense where the quarterback can be confused, because you take enough offensive snaps as a team playing against the Chiefs, and eventually you get confused. You throw the pass to the wrong place and the Chiefs pick it off. That's what you're looking for. Ultimately, in today's NFL, what you're looking for is takeaways and a really, really outstanding, solid linebacking core that can confuse you with different looks is absolutely the way to turn the ball over in this league. It is. Because quarterbacks, for whatever reason, they've gotten better at not fumbling the ball when they get sacked. And some of them look freakish. I watch replays on some of these. I'm like, how did the quarterback not fumble on that sack? But they're pretty good at it. Mahomes is pretty good at it. So the turnovers happen when quarterbacks get confused and then throw the football. And that's what I love about what this Chiefs defense could do this year. Remember the name, Drew Tranquil. We're not going to do a 53-man roster breakdown here. I just remember the name. There is a chance that in mid-October, you're sitting there saying, wow, Drew Tranquil is like my favorite player. Oh, that's going to be hard. Missouri fans, it's going to be Nick Bolton. I get it. Okay? I don't know what Felix Anudike Ozama is going to do as a rookie, whether he becomes an instant pass rusher on the edge that can make a difference. We'll see. We always hope that by the second half of the season, the big draft choices become contributors in their first year. Players you can count on, not stars. Karlaftis did this. He showed flashes early, but he just got better as it went on last year, and I think they expect a progression in year two of him to make a step into a really impactful player. If we can get to the second half of the year and Felix is doing a nice job providing some pressure, not a star player yet, but just, you know, somebody they can count on game in and game out, they're going to have something. They're going to have a better defense than they've had, and that to me is very exciting. On the offensive side, nobody's worried about the line. It might be the best line in football. The quarterback is the best quarterback in football. The running backs are mediocre at best. You can love them. I know everybody loves Pacheco. You can love them all you want because they're your guys. This is, by NFL standards, the running backs here are bland. Okay? That doesn't mean they can't be terrific, because we've seen that. We've seen Jerick McKinnon score touchdowns in six straight games last year, and he's just a journeyman. He is just a guy that's been hanging on in this league. But the Chiefs' offense creates opportunities for these players to make big plays. So the Chiefs have clearly said, we're not going to put a a giant premium on running back. That's not going to be something that we're not going to spend a lot of money there. We're just not. So we're all looking at wide receiver because DeAndre Hopkins is gone. He's gone to the Tennessee Titans. I thought he was coming to Kansas City. I thought they'd get the Chris Jones deal worked out. There'd be cap money left, and Hopkins wanted to come here and win a Super Bowl. He did not. He took the guaranteed money, big money, to go to Tennessee. So what do we have at wide receiver? Okay, and this is the order, 1 through 4, of what I think really needs to happen more than anything else. The single most important thing at wide receiver this year is Kadarius Toney needs to be injury-free. Kadarius Toney needs to play every game. If he does, he's going to blow this league wide open. I have no doubt that he is going to blow this league wide open. Kadarius Toney is going to be a star, but he must stay healthy. And he's not really been able to do that. And some of these feel like they're injuries of him just not taking care of his body. The repeated hamstring problems, the little pull here, the thing there. It's almost, and we've now watched him embarrass himself personally in the offseason. And it leads you to believe that this man is gifted but not dedicated yet. That he's immature. The Giants were tired of his act. They dumped him off to the Chiefs because they thought he's never going to grow up. He's never going to take this thing seriously. He's never going to be a pro's pro. But Patrick Mahomes is talking big about Kadarius Toney. Somehow Mahomes thinks Toney is taking another step and will be a serious player and take care of his body. I've always been this guy. I'll believe it when I see it. You show me Kadarius Toney starting 17 games this year, I'll believe it when I see it. He has no track record of this. He is injured a lot. He's clearly got some diva in him, and I question whether he takes care of his body the way he should. And so that's the number one thing. If Kadarius Toney is healthy all season long, he's going to have a monster year. Number two is Sky Moore has to take just a little bit more of a step. I don't think Sky Moore is ever going to be a superstar, but you would think with the progression we saw in his game last year that there would be an obvious step this year. That would be solid. I think they're looking at that like Juju Smith-Schuster. Put some of those numbers up. Here's your guy, somebody you can count on. Marquez Valdez-Scantling has got to improve his vertical game. He came here and had all this speed and some size to throw the ball downfield, and the Chiefs didn't get it downfield enough to him. He needs to be the guy to stretch the defense, so he needs to improve that vertical game, and the rookie, the draft choice, Rashee Rice, needs to simply become something this year. And hopefully that would be by week 5 or 6. I don't expect it in the opener. If it's week 10 or 11, I can live with that. But Rashee Rice needs to become a contributor. A guy that when he's on the field, it's not dead weight. It's not just a dead body out there that can't factor into making a play. And you never really know with the rookies. So we'll keep our eye on that. And that's just how I see the way the Chiefs have put their team together. Look, defense is hard in the NFL these days. There's so many. The Chiefs are playing so many terrific offenses. I'm not sitting here telling you they've got the 85 Bears on defense, but I see some pieces and some things that lead me to believe the Chiefs could be really good defensively this year. Like, really good. Like, if they have to go beat the Jets 13-10, they might be able to do it. Because, like, the Jets have a great defense. Again, we always expect Mahomes to just slice up a great defense, but it doesn't always happen. They scored 9 in the Super Bowl against Tampa. A good offense can be stopped by a great defense. Can the Chiefs win the low-scoring games? That's the big question. I think it's getting harder every year. I think the AFC is getting tougher. I think Aaron Rodgers to the Jets complicates things. I think the Chargers have probably taken a step. I think the Broncos won't be the absolute laughingstock they were just because the coaching is better. I don't know what the Raiders have at quarterback. If they're healthy there, or they're going to be bringing anything, but the Chiefs have owned this division. There's no reason to believe they're not going to repeat there. They find their way to the AFC title game. It is always at Arrowhead Stadium. I think we'll all be disappointed if they don't. You know the one real key. Above all the other things that I've mentioned, the one real key is Patrick Mahomes got to be playing in January. That's it. They can do without him for 4 or 5 games in the regular season. I've no doubt the Chiefs will be just fine and get into the playoffs. Mahomes hurts an ankle or something and goes down for a month, no problem. But they got to have him in January. If they want to get to the Super Bowl or repeat, they got to have him in January. And if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl this year, they will be officially recognized as a dynasty. I don't think there's any question about that. That would be appearances in 4 out of 5 Super Bowls, and if they won it, they would have won 3 of the 4, over a 5-year period. This Chiefs era would be seen as a dynasty. But, A, we know what the odds are. There's probably, legitimately, there's probably a dozen teams, maybe 15, that could win the Super Bowl. Some would look unlikely to you, but they could. It can happen. There are ways. There's always a path. You can get there. And so I'm very excited about this all starting, and I hope you are too. I spent a fun time yesterday with my friend Tony, who's a one-man KKHI sponsor stimulus machine. He's remodeling his basement with Cross Kitchens, and he had me by to take a look at it. It's almost done. It's just unbelievable. Now, this was a big job. This is everything down there. They redid the bathroom, the bar, the man cave part, all new. I mean, it's just completely redone. He's been in his house 20-some years. They're like, it's time for a remodel. They just did it all. It is unbelievable what Cross Kitchens has done. And I went by there, and their workers are really nice. They're good people. And Tim wasn't there. Tim Cross wasn't there at the time that I went by. But I'm going to be seeing him shortly as they conclude the job. I told Tony, I said, let me know. I'll bring the beer. I'll bring the non-Bud Light, and we'll have a beer and celebrate your new basement and tip one with Tim from Cross Kitchens for the great work that they do with the remodel. What Tony really wanted me to do yesterday was go with him out to B-Stock and pick out a couple televisions for his basement. I said, great, let's go. We went out, met my buddy Chris out there. We had lunch at the restaurant right by B-Stock, 54th Street Grill, I think it's called. Really good lunch. They're in Olathe, B-Stock is, and it's a no-frills kind of place because they're an internet business. They're a warehouse. And we go out there and we pick them out, and Chris says, well, here's the deal. Here's the lower-end model. Here's the middle model, and here's the ridiculous high-end model. He said, it's up to you, Tony, but I'd go the ones in the middle. The difference between the one in the middle price and the high price is very, very little. But the difference between the lowest price one, if this is a showcase TV and he got like an 86-inch TV to put down there on the wall in his man cave, the difference between the lower one and the middle one, you'll notice the difference when you're watching football. And Tony said, okay, that done. And he got out of there and was very happy with the price. They're even going to deliver it for him. We had a wonderful day. And it just reminded me, first of all, I'm blessed to have friends and family that for some reason love me. I don't know why, or at least like me, or tolerate me. One or the other. I'm blessed to have that. But then these sponsors, we go out and we see him, and he was just so, you know, at lunch, we talked about politics. We talked about football. We talked about, it was almost like the three of us could have been brothers. You know, me and Tony and Chris, and we're just sitting there talking about all this stuff. And Tony doesn't really know him. I know Chris a lot better than Tony, but it felt so comfortable. And I'm like, that really is the essence of what we're doing with this podcast. This has been the greatest experience, my professional experience of my life, the greatest, because it has just filtered out all of the haters. The nonsense, they're not going to hit the play button and listen to this podcast. They're gone, man. They're gone from my life. And now it's like-minded people that love America, see things the same way. If you own or operate or run a business or you're in a management position, you treat people fairly. You're kind. It just, I had one of those days that's just hard to describe. It was just so good. And I'm so appreciative of that. Nice folks. Oh, this is good. I don't know if you noticed this or not. I railed on the Royals on Monday for the way they treat Brady Singer and what they've done statistically to this kid this year and what it will cost him in arbitration and eventually free agency because his stats are going to suck. It's remarkable what they did. They trotted him out there Sunday, if you didn't hear yesterday's podcast, in the 8th inning. He'd gone 7 innings scoreless. They put him out there in the 8th. He's been struggling all year with his earned run average because he gives up big innings. But he's had a ton of games, 10 games, where he's gone 5, 6, or into the 7th inning and given up 0 or 1 runs. And then he gets bombed at the end. He's not a 120-pitch guy. He's not a 9-inning guy right now. We know what he is. So they trot him out there in the 8th inning, and instead of, a guy got on base, let's get him out and lower his earned run average today and help him out and gain some confidence. No. They made him stay the whole inning because the Royals were up 7-0, and he gave up 4 runs, and he didn't really even affect his earned run average that day. It just wrecked his whole day. It completely wrecked it. So I made a big deal about it on Twitter. I even let some people I know around the organization know how I felt, that I thought they were doing this on purpose, and I thought they're looking at this as maybe leverage to try to sign him to a long-term deal on the cheap. I wouldn't put it past the Royals. I can't prove that, but I wouldn't put it past them. And then I did a whole podcast on it in the headline and used the word that they're stealing millions from this player. So I'm certain some people at Kauffman Stadium took note of this. And then did you see what happened on Monday night? Jordan Lyles, who they'll never sign again, they've got him, I think, on a 2-year guaranteed deal, is 1-11 with a 6.7-something earned run average. There is no future for him. He's been around forever. He's in his mid-30s. There's nothing there. They'll never have to sign him again. So you're not worried if he, you know. What does the manager do? The Royals are up 2-0. And Jordan Lyles goes 6 innings, only 83 pitches, no runs, only 83 pitches. And the Royals are up 2-0. And they pull him and give him the clean sheet on the night, 6 innings pitched, no runs. They pull him, go to the bullpen, and lose 3-2. You can't make this up. It's exactly the opposite of what you should be doing. You're in a 2-0 game, and you got a guy that's dealing, only thrown 83 pitches. You probably trot him out there in the 7th inning, which wasn't the problem. The 7th inning was clean. It was the 8th inning that became the problem. But you probably tried him out in the 7th, and if he puts a runner on, get him out. But he's dealing 83 pitches. What'd he give up? 2 hits? 3 hits? How about one more inning? Let's see. Again, don't leave him out there to lose the game. I guess they were thinking he's 1-11. This is their best chance to get him a win. But now you got 2 mad pitchers. Lyles had to be mad that he came out. And again, I'm all about having the guy ready. Put Lyles out there. If he walks the first hitter, somebody gets a hit, or he gives up a solo home run or whatever, out you come. We're going to the bullpen. But the night you got Brady Singer out there, and it's going to be easy. Even if your bullpen fails, you're still going to win because you're up 7-0. We're not going to protect him at all. Then they put him out there and let him give up 4 runs in the 8th. Oh, my God. I can't figure this baseball team out, man. I'm pretty much just mortified and disgusted with the whole thing. It could be worse. You could be one of America's best baseball writers, and that is Jeff Passan at ESPN, who lives here in Kansas City. And Jeff and I have had our differences or whatever through the years. We're just different people. But he's just great at what he does, and everybody knows it, and he's very well liked in the baseball community and in media. We had the big storm on Friday in Kansas City. And Jeff lives in a part of town where the houses are a little older, the trees are a little taller. Like, I don't know if it's exactly Prairie Village or Overland Park or exactly where he lives, but he had tree damage. He gets up Saturday morning and he starts working on the tree damage. And while he's doing this, a big tree in his yard falls over and crushes his back. He has fractured vertebrae, a broken back. They say it will heal. He made a joke on Twitter about the tree. He showed it on the ground. It's a massive tree laying on the ground. It's now too big for him to deal with. He's going to have to call people. It, you know, incredibly unlucky that you're out there doing that work when the tree falls. But in a way, incredibly lucky it didn't hit you in the head. All right? I hope he gets a full recovery and never has back problems the rest of his life. But this tree was massive. You should see this thing. It's on his Twitter page. And he waited a couple days before posting, and he finally did that. And in a typical Jeff Passan way, he always puts breaking news. I do that every now and then with a headline on the podcast. He puts breaking, my back, and then told people what happened and showed pictures of the darn thing. Jeff, we're wishing the speedy recovery for you. We're praying for you, buddy. And we hope that everything goes really, really well. It sounds like, by his demeanor and what he's tweeted, that he's going to be okay. Can you imagine getting crushed by a falling tree? Jeff Passan of ESPN. And he's back working and tweeting and making phone calls. And he said, this could be a little weird. My reports and tweets on painkillers could be a little strange the next few weeks, but the trade deadline is August 1st, and this is where he breaks more news than any time all year. Like, it's day after day after day he's breaking news about trades, and he's going to work through this with a broken back from his house in Kansas City on ESPN. It will be interesting to see if he can sit in front of the computer and do the Zoom calls on ESPN or whether he'll just break stories on Twitter and by writing. I don't know. I've never really had back problems, but the only times in my life where I've had either a tight back or something sore in my back has only lasted a couple days or whatever, and it's miserable. It was awful, and I know a lot of you deal with serious back conditions and back pain, and you know, God bless you, man, dealing with that, because that's just a terrible, terrible thing, because you're just never comfortable, and you can't sleep, you can't sit right, you're always feeling it, you're always thinking about it, and we're thinking about you, Jeff Passan of ESPN. KKHI is brought to you by the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan and Goolsby's Indoor Entertainment Center, all part of the Bluemont Hotel Complex, which is great for individual business travelers, even better for hosting conferences, seminars, and training events. It's the Bluemont Hotel in Manhattan, online at BluemontHotel.com. They're great for wedding parties, rehearsal dinners, receptions, reunions, getting together for a big football game this fall. Maybe all your frat buddies are coming back from other parts of the country. Set it up at the Bluemont Hotel. Online at BluemontHotel.com. You're going to love your experience there. While you're there, pour yourself a cold one right off the wall. They got 30 taps right on the wall at Goolsby's. They've got duck pin bowling, indoor batting cages, driving ranges, all that cool stuff. It's all right there as part of the most awesome hotel in Manhattan, the second fastest growing city in America, BluemontHotel.com. Amini's 105th and Metcalf, online at Amini's.com. Outdoor furniture is big this time of year. Football's coming up. Some of you have said, hey, listen, I've built a little pergola or done something outside. I got a football TV outside. B-Stock's, of course, a great place to go get that. If you're doing that, you need some really, really nice chairs to sit in outdoors and watch football, or maybe new bar stools for your man cave, do it. Our new bar stools are in at Amini's for our outdoor patio area. We're very excited to have those delivered next week, and we will be set to watch some football in the great outdoors. Amini's has everything for your home. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. They are also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City, online at Amini's.com. And your new dentist is Dr. Bill Bush, online at NKCDental.com, or call 816-471-2911 and make an appointment to have your teeth cleaned. Switch dentists. Why wouldn't you go with a great American conservative patriot like Dr. Bill Bush? He runs his practice that way as well. I mean, all during COVID, the whole deal. There were no mask mandates at NKC Dental. There was none of that. Okay? Come as you are. We're all adults here. This is good. This is free America. Going to the dentist at North Kansas City Dental is free America. Yeah, you could name it America Free Dentistry, right? Dr. Bill Bush has a team of great dentists, but you can see Dr. Bush if you'd like to make an appointment with him. 816-471-2911, online at nkcdental.com. I am really looking forward to seeing and hearing from the new star basketball player at the University of Kansas, who did a podcast this week, and they finalized their roster sort of at KU, and it's an all-new team. They've joined everybody else. We're just going to go out in the transfer portal and build a team, and that's what Kansas has done. Hunter Dickinson is the big 7'2" center, All-American from Michigan, who apparently didn't have a great experience at Michigan. Although he was a terrific player there, I think he probably saw, I'm not getting where I need to be, and Bill Self obviously has such a history with big men. I think the kid made an unbelievably great decision to go to Kansas. I think it's an absolutely perfect fit. But what excites me, you know this about me already. What excites me is this kid is a man. And this man is, well, he's for hire, all right? It's 9 months in Lawrence. That's it. He's there for 9 months and he's going pro and that's that. So everybody knows the deal. This isn't about, oh, I'm studying this academically and KU's a good, no. You paid me a pile of money in NIL. Somebody said it could have been upwards of $2 million to come play at Kansas. You paid the most money. I fit best here. This was a no-brainer. But that still isn't what I like. What I like most is he says things. He's an adult. He's a man. He's going to say whatever the heck he wants. And he goes on this podcast and he said, well, so far this has been great, but school isn't really even in yet. So not everybody's here, but my gosh, everybody here is super nice. No matter where I go, he said, they're super nice and I'm getting, quote, Midwest vibes. And then the follow-up was, well, you were at Michigan, in that Midwest? And Hunter Dickinson says, I feel like Michigan is a fake Midwest. And he said the people are, I guess, nice enough there, but not like they are here. Michigan is a fake Midwest. Now, how fun would it be if KU played Michigan in the tournament? How fun would that be? That'd be really cool. He says people in Kansas are just especially nice. And people in Michigan, yeah, I'm sorry, that's a fake Midwest, is the way he called it. That's cool. I like guys that are confident enough to say things. We know one person who's not confident enough to say anything is Karine Jean-Pierre at the White House as we transition to the news of the days. She said last week or a couple weeks ago, Joe Biden was very concerned about the cocaine in the White House. That as the president of the United States, which is the most powerful position on earth, he is concerned, he wants the truth, and he wants to know what's going on with the cocaine in the White House. Now that the Secret Service has said, oh, we didn't find fingerprints, and we didn't find DNA, and there's no video evidence, and we don't know what this is. The case is closed, and we don't know. Come on. We know that that's the single biggest lie yet of the Biden administration. Maybe not the most important lie, but it's the easiest for us to just tell they're liars. That's just a complete and all-out lie. Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent, Fox News host previously, radio guy, says the agents that he knows are furious over this. Because according to them, they absolutely know what happened with the cocaine and who it belonged to, the people who did the investigation, but they're not, the White House isn't allowing it out. They're controlling, they're censoring the news. The White House is keeping the information from being public, that they absolutely know what happened with the cocaine, and they simply are going to keep it quiet. I think it's going to leak at some point, and I'll continue to say this. If it leaks, that is the sure sign that Obama wants Biden out and somebody else in, and somebody else will run. That little packet of cocaine will be the backbreaker, because if they're hiding the information, it has to be really damning. It has to be either somebody high level, or more likely it's Hunter, or what if it's the scandal of all scandals? What if Hunter brings a snort or two in there for Joe to keep him alert? Anything's possible. Anything is possible, folks, with this Biden family. You can't put it beyond them. So now KJP stands there, and this was a liberal reporter that said, 2 weeks ago, the president said he was very concerned about this cocaine and wants the absolute truth. We'd like to know what his response is and how he feels that they couldn't find out what this is or who did it. And Karine Jean-Pierre says, I have no comment on that. I have no comment. Like, no comment. We're covering it up, and we're not commenting. This is your White House. This is your Biden presidency. We're covering it up, and you get nothing for information. But it gets worse. Then she's asked about a tweet that Biden put out on Sunday night. Biden put out a tweet, or the president of the United States, somebody for him, put out a tweet about real wages are up, and they're higher than they were before COVID. Which is absolutely factually wrong. There has been a 17% price hike since then on what everything costs. It is 17% more expensive to live now than then. That's across the board. So you need to be making, just alone, you need to be making 17% more than you did 4 years ago to be even. And real wages are down 3%. So it's a 20% ding on everyone. It's a 20% ding. And the president puts out, real wages are up higher than they were before COVID. And then it says Bidenomics. I still don't even understand it. Do they not know that people use Bidenomics as an insult? That's all it is. Bidenomics is a joke. We say Bidenomics, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. So he tweeted this out, and then they ask KJP about it. And she says, her answer, the president tweeted out there, factually, that's incorrect. And now Twitter, because it was on Twitter, has put a notation by it that this is not factual. And then a a little subset thing of here's where to go to get the real truth. That's what Twitter does. You call it censoring. It's not. They didn't censor it. They didn't take the post down. They didn't kick Biden off. So they did to Trump. They kicked him off. They didn't kick Biden off. They just said this isn't right. Link to this thing and it'll give you the actual facts. They were letting you know that this was a lie. And they asked KJP, well, what do you think about what Twitter did? Or Twitter said. And her response was, we disagree. That's it. She gave two on, she got asked two hard questions yesterday. The first one, she said no comment. And the second one, she said, we disagree. That's it. This is a White House spokesperson. Why do they have these events anymore? She's a joke now. But she's got the hardest job there is. She's an absolute joke. And that whole outfit and the way they're running things is a complete and utter failure and joke. Hey, don't forget Tickets for Less. Chiefs season is here now. And you're thinking about going to games, whether it's home or away. Tickets for Less will hook you up with the best seats for Chiefs games, including parking, special VIP passes, and little known tip. If you just want to go to Arrowhead and have some fun in the preseason, the tickets are dirt cheap. You can get in for next to nothing. If you want to take kids, that's the time to take kids to Chiefs games. It's not as raucous and wild and stuff in the preseason. Ticketsforless.com. That's ticketsforless.com. 685-3322. Call the local operators that live and work right here in Kansas City at a great Kansas City company, 913-685-3322. Do not forget to mention the podcast. If you're on the phone with them, they'll give you your 5 to 15% discount over the phone, or just plug in KKHI as a promo code, and you're always going to save at ticketsforless.com. We still have major concerts coming up this summer if you'd like to go to those. Window World has their auction going for this $40,000 complete remodel package, including Window World's beautiful energy-efficient windows, siding, and doors to any homeowner residing in Kansas or Missouri in 80 counties. It's a $40,000 budget for you to remodel a home, and right now the charity bid is $20,000. It's half price. The auction will close on July 27th, so that's the end of next week. If you would like to check all this out, just go to windowskansascity.com. That's windowskansascity.com, and you'll see all the information there about the great Window World products that you'll get. You get to shop and choose and pick them out for your residence or your rental property, or if you're getting ready to buy a house and flip it, this is an unbelievable opportunity. It's half price right now. The remodel is half price, and it all goes to Action for Autism. They're hoping to raise $400,000 in August for Action for Autism. Window World cares, and John Gillette and his team are just, seriously, they're just kind of, they're special people. That's really cool what they are doing. Also, MyPillow.com, don't forget to use the promo code. I forgot to mention that with the Tickets for Less. MyPillow is the same thing. When you're online shopping with any of our sponsors, MyPillow.com or MyStore.com, please use the promo code KKHI. That's the only way they stay with us is if people are using the code. If people don't use the code, they are gonzo. So we appreciate you using the code at MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. KKHI is always the promo code. KKHI is always the promo code. Josh Hawley has been asked finally about the Bud Light controversy. I've got some emails from somebody that you're tired of me talking about Bud Light. This isn't really about Bud Light. This is about Josh Hawley. So Holly got asked, you know, what do you think about, you know, what happened with Bud Light? And I'm going to read this because the audio was not very good. The audio that I had wasn't good enough for me to just cut it off and paste it and play it for you. So I'm going to read it. This is a long, thoughtful answer from a senator that we love and a really smart guy. And his response was, listen, I got to tell you, this is personal for me because this is a Missouri company. Budweiser is a Missouri company. St. Louis, Missouri, Anheuser-Busch. They've been there literally for two centuries. It's provided incredible jobs for working people. And to see them get bought out as they were, you know, 15 years ago now by this global corporation, this InBev, and then come in here, InBev, completely hollow out the company, fire a whole bunch of great people in St. Louis, working people. Oh, they kept the suits, but they fired all the real people. And now try to turn this company, a great American company, into like the poster child for woke. I mean, I just don't get it. It's terrible for us in my state. It hits home for us, but it's just terrible for the whole country. Holly was then answering a follow-up question. How does he believe Bud Light can recover? And Holly said, quote, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, listen, I just hope they'll get back to actually being the all-American company they used to be. Listen, they used to celebrate firefighters, police officers, soldiers, men and women who would, you know, were doing things every day to make America better. And if you're a working person around the country, and you're going to crack open a beer, it was a Bud Light. And now it's just the opposite. So I don't know if I have any advice for them, but they got to not do what they're doing now. Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri. That's right. InBev, a European company, bought this company and was trying to take it woke in some ways, not completely, in some ways. And of all brands, of all products, of all things, you don't do it. I used to argue with Mark Donovan, the president of the Chiefs, and say, what are you doing with some of these woke things you do? Do you not know your football audience? Don't do this. Don't put BLM on the field. Don't allow anthem kneelers. If they're going to kneel, keep them in the locker room. Have the anthem without the teams. Don't let them do this to your sport. And it hurt the NFL. That whole Kaepernick thing, the NFL went down for a year or two. They've rebounded wildly. They've recovered. But it was not good for the NFL. And it certainly is not good for Bud Light right now. It's a popular product. People like it. Liberals are never going to go run by it because of what happened. It's going to take people after time saying, that's okay, I like it. Their best play, their best strategy at this point is the thing they say they don't do. They say, oh, we don't target teenagers with our advertising. They should target teenagers because teenagers don't care about this stuff yet. They're too young to know. If they start a huge ad campaign trying to reach teenagers, they're going to turn them into Bud Light drinkers, and this will eventually go away. They can recover much of what they've lost. They're not going to recover it for 40 and 50-year-olds that have walked away. The people that I know have said they're never drinking again. They're like literally never drinking it again. So I think they're going to start targeting teenagers. And I don't think it would be a bad idea to target football fans, fans of the military, police officers, firefighters, just like Josh Hawley said. Run the Clydesdales out there. You know, how about a cute parody commercial with the Bud Light Clydesdales where they're like ponies instead of full-grown Clydesdales? You know, the Clydesdales Light, something fun, something clever. I don't know. Reach younger people. Have some fun with it. We'll see. Josh Hawley, as always, something very thoughtful that he had to say. I keep hearing about this Hollywood strike, and I don't know anybody that cares. I just keep consuming it. I can't get away from it. I see it on the internet. I see it on TV. I see it on my Twitter timeline. Everywhere. Hollywood strike, writers and actors. I got one question. Who cares? These people, do they not know? Here's the problem with their strike. We got football games in a month. Little over a month. College football starts the third week of August. There's like eight games on what Saturday is that? Where's my calendar? It's like the third or fourth. It's Saturday in August with a handful of games. Notre Dame plays. It's football season. They said by the time the strike takes effect in September, it could be a real problem. There'll be no new shows. There'll be none of this, none of that, blah, blah. I'm like, once football starts, who cares? We got enough football. We don't need anything from Hollywood. They are so, and you know what? The media is all tangled up in this too. They're sort of obsessed with Hollywood. Are you really going to miss your show when football starts? I mean, maybe I'm different, but I'm not. I still got news. I've got plenty of stuff on streaming from way back that I could go watch that you could never catch up with. There's so much content out there now. If you have any streaming services, hell, there's probably 50 shows you've never watched. Just watch some of those you passed over. This is just so absurd. Who cares? They're so self-important. We can do a few months without new content. We can't do without football. At least I can't. There's no strike in football. So the Hollywood writers and actors, good luck to you. I'm sorry. Good luck to you. They do have one interesting concern. A lot of this strike is about, and this has nothing, I couldn't care less. I'm not for it. I just think this is interesting. The writers and the actors, apparently in these negotiations, are very concerned about artificial intelligence. Like, what's going to keep, we need to know what the rules are, the parameters on what you will let a computer do to replace us. The writers don't want to get replaced by artificial intelligence. They're really afraid of that. They should be. And the actors don't want to be replaced because they can simulate their voices and their images and all that other stuff. That is the only interesting part of this thing to me, because I don't understand AI. I don't ever really care to. I'm not getting on ChatGPT. It's of no use to me. I don't need artificial intelligence to do my podcast for me. Although, if somebody really knew how to operate it, I'd maybe do one and give it a try. Let somebody show me how to do that and see what the podcast would sound like. That'd be kind of interesting, but only once. I'm not interested in that. This is what I do. When people don't listen anymore, I'll just be done. That's it. I love this. Our final is brought to you by Advantage Termite and Pest Control, online at AdvantageTPC.com. 913-768-8989. Man, these guys are the best. They'll work for your business or residential. Sign up for annual service. They come out several times a year. You don't even have to think about it. You just never see any critters anywhere. They're the best in the business, and they're awesome conservatives. AdvantageTPC.com. Of course, all of our sponsors are at the KK List. TheKKList.com. I still get emails. What's the name of that site? You got to put the word the in there. TheKKList.com. 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 They're all right there. It's so simple. We just put them there right for you to make it easy. Places like Jocelyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. The jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family, Gary and Dave and Cameron, just good people. No commissions there, no pressure. If you're going and you're just shopping, they'll clean your jewelry. You don't even have to buy anything. They're like, oh, could you clean this while we're looking around? Absolutely. They clean everything up. It just sparkles. It's gorgeous. They just do that for you. That's Jocelyn's, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Our final is something we've never done before. The final today is the first time our final 2 days in a row is the same person. Yesterday, it was Jason Aldean getting heat stroke on stage and walking out of a concert. And now it's the release of his new video to his new song, Try That in a Small Town. That's the name of his song. I told you that I'm not the biggest Aldean fan, but I love him and his wife. And they're like MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. Like, they're making a difference in a lot of places. This guy's really popular, and he's wearing it on his sleeve. And if not one stinking liberal ever buys a ticket to his show, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. So his new song is called Try That in a Small Town. And it's basically, the video just shows clips of Minneapolis on fire, the police station burning, riots in the streets, smash and grabs, all the stuff you've seen in our American cities over the last 3 years, 4 years, as you've watched all this unfold and all these great cities fall and the homeless, it shows homeless people, these homeless encampments, tent cities, all this other stuff the liberals are allowing. That's all the video shows you is this stuff. And he's standing there playing his guitar. He's got a big flag behind him. And the entire song is, come on down to my small town and try this. And it's about, my daddy gave me a gun and taught me how to shoot. See if you can get away with this in a small town. It's vigilante justice. He's saying, you come try to do this in our town, we're going to shoot you dead. We will shoot you dead. You try to set our city hall on fire in a small town, we're shooting you. It's unbelievable. If you don't like country music, don't worry about it. This one's kind of a badass rocker of a song. But go watch the video. It's easy. Just Google, try that in a small town. And the video will pop up and watch it. It is powerful. That seems like something Trump's going to be showing at his rallies. Trump and Aldean are tight. They play golf together. There's no other way to say it. It's just badass. Go check it out. Try That in a Small Town by Jason Aldean. KKHI is a Crooked Tail Media Incorporated production. And it's just me and Jess here at Crooked Tail. We enjoy doing it every day. We're glad you're here with us. We're so thankful when you hit the follow or subscribe button. We're at almost 32,000 subscribers now. That's incredible. Thank you for spreading the word, spreading it around, and for supporting our sponsors. If you'd like to become a patron, football season is right around the corner. We're going to have bonus content there all football season. If you sign up as a patron at kkhasissues.com, it only takes about 5 minutes. It's only $5 a month. We did a terrific patron podcast yesterday, I thought, on a wide variety of topics. Many of you will email and say, how come you didn't talk about this on the podcast? And I'll email back, that was on a patron podcast. There's so much other material that we do. And oftentimes it's just a little more personal, the Patreon podcast. It's simple. Get on your tablet, your laptop, your desktop, kkhasissues.com. Sign right up. Only takes 5 minutes, and you'll get them dropped right into your inbox. From Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.